F4, number 13B.
So, the Jews said it is not lawful. And so they accused him. And so the lame man said, "He that made me whole said, take up the bed and walk." See, the consciousness, the Christ consciousness said, okay, I get up, I rise, I take up my bed and walk. So the Jews said, what man is that? What kind of man is that that said on a Sabbath day, break the law of the Sabbath of the Jews? What kind of man is that? So we too so often have to appeal to our spiritual Christ selfhood and break some laws. The laws of hygiene, the laws of medicine sometimes, the laws of the common sense and so on. We have to break them because we rise in our Christ consciousness above the dogmas, above opinions. And if we know how opinions change over the centuries, how the laws of medicine, hygiene, the laws of theology, the laws of I don't know what, of psychology change every other decade, then naturally we can see that we have not a reliable laws in these disciplines, that we must listen to our Christ selfhood. So what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? What man is it? And naturally it was the Christ man, the impersonal Christ selfhood who said that. And that did not agree with the Jewish law. But the blind man did not know who Jesus was. So the next day Jesus finds him in the temple and said to that blind man, or the one he has healed, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worse thing come upon thee. And you see, he gives here the scientific explanation of the healing. First, before we had just the healing and the method of healing and say, well, fall back on your Christ consciousness. Use your Christ consciousness. You have the Christ consciousness. Rise up. Rise to that Christ consciousness. Don't give in to mortality. Don't give in to that you are a mortal and that you are dependent on luck and chance. There is a law that you have the Christ consciousness. Rise up, and immediately he rose up. Now comes the aspect of science and says, this is something that you have to see, that this healing is not just for the healing. This healing is that you go forward, that you accept the new teaching, that you accept the new paradigm. Go forward. Don't go back. Don't go back to the same paradigm. So he said, go forward. Sin no more. Don't do the same again. Go forward, lest the worst thing come upon thee. So it says that the purpose of healing is not just healing. The purpose of healing is only a sign that says, this shows you that there is a higher law at work, that there is a Christ idea at work. So go and find and seek that Christ idea. Don't go back to the same thing again and say, well, if something happens to me again, then I know now that I can be taken care of. And that has become, in many Christian scientists, a certain atmosphere, a certain attitude, that they say, oh fine, I found Christian science. Now whatever happens, I can heal that situation. The practitioner will work day and night for me. I can go asleep, and he will work, and he will help me. And then when he has been helped, he says, thank you, practitioner, I send you a check, and that's that. He doesn't go forward. He doesn't ask, what on earth did heal me? What on earth is this Christ science all about? So that healing should only be a sign for him that he has to go forward and not to go back to the same situation again. And say, all right, now I found something terrific. If I'm in trouble, the practitioner will help me. So the next time I'm in trouble, I know where to turn to. And then I get the healing. And then goes on in the same way and say, if something else will happen, I have my practitioner. See, this is what Jesus wanted to teach that man and said, go forward. Go no more back to the same situation. Go and see that this healing has been for you as a sign that your consciousness has to go forward. Always forward, always forward. Then the fourth side of the holy city is being taken care of too. So the Christ should not be considered as a recipe for healing. The Christ should be considered as something that leads us on and on and higher in the understanding of being. Then the fourth side is taken care of. The Christ is that which takes us out of an old paradigm into a new paradigm, always. This has been, so to say, the general atmosphere that I could see in John Dolly all over those 40 years he was working in along the line of science, that he was always going forward, always going forward. He always said, and on we go, and ever on we go. That was his melody, so to say. And he did do that. So Mrs. Eddy would say, infinite progression is concrete being. So not healing brings us being. Healing is only one step in the chain of being. But infinite progression, not only progress, progression. Progression is even bigger than progress. Progress is when we have a certain paradigm and make progress in that. But progression is if we have changes in the paradigm, then we have progression, then we go higher, and not just better. You see, progress is just when you stay in the same paradigm, and within that paradigm do better works. Then it is progress. Just use that paradigm in a better way, in a more cleverly way, in a more powerful way, in a more authoritative way, then it is progress. But progression means that you change your paradigm to a very higher paradigm. So then there is real progression. Just as, say, you had Newton and what he saw and put down all those wonderful big laws, and then that law lasted for about 200 years, and all the scientists would see that those laws always in a finer way, perhaps in a more delicate way, and there were some kind of a progress going on, until finally towards the end of the century, the teacher of Max Planck told him, well, there is nothing more to be seen really in physics. There are just there and here some little details which can still be worked out. Until then, from Planck on with Einstein and so on, a complete paradigm shift took place. That was progression. And that is what we have to see. That as Christian scientists, we are not learning something in the Christian science textbook and find that we know it now, that we understand it, and so we are going to on for time immemorial to use it, and to use it, and to use it. It will get dull, it will die on our consciousness. That's why then those healing will no more work. Because Jesus said, go and sin no more. Meaning go and go no more back to your old paradigm. Go forward, go forward, go forward. And on we go. This is what is seen also working in all the various departments of science. I was always impressed by a book of Buchholz. I don't think it was translated into English. It was called The Great Transformation, where he showed that actually in the various sciences, quite in general, there was a law working which was not embedded in the scientists, but was embedded on a higher level, namely the law of life, truth, and love. He called it not life, truth, and love, but he could see that in the sciences there is always something going on, namely that the law of life comes to the scientist as the law of spontaneity, that suddenly something new happens. And usually it happens in many places independent of each other. Multiple discoveries, this is called, that law of spontaneity. And then it shows that the line of development in the various disciplines are always a trend that always goes upward and upward in a logical way, that there were truths at work in it, showing itself in the sciences as logicity, the law of logicity, that it was not haphazardly, always a logical development, that one built on the other in a logical way. And third, he could see that in these sciences was the law of love at work. He didn't call it love, he called it the law of teleology. Theological means it always was aiming at the high aim, at the high purpose. Just as most today say that high purpose is love. So, can you see, the Christ idea does not want to repair things. It's not the fix-it shop. It's not the repair shop. It is an idea that wants that mankind as a whole, that the individual as an individual, always goes forward. Always goes forward. It's a great drive behind it that says, go forward. Why has mankind gone forward? Mankind is only, according to whom you believe, perhaps 3 million years old, perhaps only 2 million years old. That's nothing compared with the age of the world, which is about 15 to 20 billion years. So 3 million is just nothing. And if you take a civilized man, it's only 6,000 years old. But within that short time, that very, very, very short time, you can see a terrific development in mankind compared with the whole evolution of the universe. So where did it come from? Did the monkeys on the tree tell us go down from the tree and become intelligent and become civilized? They didn't tell us that. Who told it? Who told it? It happened. There is a law of life, truth, and love at work. And Jesus wanted to somehow to tell that impotent man and say, look here, I didn't heal you just that you are healed. I want to see that you get out of the old dogma, that you don't believe the old dogma of the Jews, that you have always to go back to that old dogma. Go forward. Go forward. And the Christ says the same thing to us. Same thing to us. Don't stay in an old dogma where you are bound by laws of limitation, where you are not allowed to use your American rights of the Bill of Rights, where you are not allowed to be an American that has liberty of speaking, of reading what he wants, to say what he wants, to criticize what he wants. You are not allowed to be an American. You are not allowed to be. Are you going to stick up with that kind of thing? Well, in Germany, in East Germany, in Poland, in Czechoslovakia, in Austria, in Romania, they didn't believe in it anymore. They went on the street and said, we are no more going to be allowed to be deprived of our man rights. But the Christian scientists do it. They allow it. They allow it. They allow that they are penalized for right of conscience. A right of conscience. Gottschalk, who was next to Robert Peel, said that man has a right of conscience, as it is stated in the textbook, and he was fired. That's what Christian Scientists are. Yeah? They are impotent people. They don't stand up for their manhood. What kind of man, he said, are you? What kind of man did heal you? So, these things are very timely. They apply to every time in the world, and to everyone in the world. They are quite terrific. Okay, this is what the Christ has shown us here, and so we go on to the next great subject. The Christ as Christianity. You have it on page 11. Christ illustrates the spiritual coincidence of God and man in his image. So we come now to quite a different aspect of the Christ. You see, the first aspect we had of the Christ was the Word which said you have to wed the Word with the Christ. Once you have wedded the Word with the Christ begins, in the second point, to translate itself as the healing power, as the saving power. Once that saving power is at work, it overturns and overturns what is not right and heals. When it is healed, what is left? And you come to the third, to Christianity, where you see that then God and man coincide in nature. So Mrs. Eddy calls that in her textbook, says the Christ illustrates the coincidence or spiritual agreement between God and man in his image. So that spiritual coincidence and agreement is now brought out by John. Yeah. So we have this spiritual agreement shown in again from four different angles. First from the angle of the Word, and you see it very clearly. My epitome is what the Father does, the Son does likewise. Can you see? Likewise. It is the same. It coincides. It agrees. So the Father and the Son, the Word and the Christ agree. They coincide. And John brings it out very simply. He says that Jesus said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. So the Father works, because the Father works, I work. Can you see the coincidence? So that there is no difference between the Father works and I work. If I make that difference, then I haven't touched the Christ, that it is not Emmanuel. So I have to see that what I work is actually not what I work, but is that which the Father works. So Jesus said, 19, the Son can do nothing of himself. This is a very important point. The Son can do nothing of himself. We cannot heal out of ourselves spiritually. We can't. The Son can do nothing out of himself. He has to have a much higher authority behind himself. But what he sees the Father do, see, he goes now back to the Father. For whatsoever his Father doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. Again he repeats, what the Father does, the Son does likewise. So what the Son sees the Father do, that the Son can do also. So you have this very close, tight coincidence between the Father's work and our work. That's terrific. Then he shows it from the standpoint of the Christ. The Father shows the Son even greater works. That's something we had before. You know, already in the first part, when Nathanael came to Jesus and was saying, "Oh, you are the rabbi, you are the master," that Jesus said to him, "Well, you believe me, but you will see even greater works." But we left it at that. So here he comes back to that point that he wants to show that the Father works. What the Father works, the Son works. That's the Word. Now he comes to the Christ and says, "But you will see that you can do even greater works than what I do at the present moment." 20. "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth." Again, a repetition, what the Father does, the Son does too. But then he goes on, "And he will show him greater works than these, that he may marvel." So that has always puzzled every Bible reader. What did Jesus mean? How is it possible that he could say, "You will do greater works than what Jesus did"? Well, Jesus could walk on the water, he could overcome space and time, he could heal anybody, he could raise the dead. What greater works do you want to do? This is so terrific that you ask yourself, is there anything greater than that? And yet Jesus himself said that you will do greater works. And so this has puzzled and puzzled and puzzled theologians, and actually every reader of the Bible. So again, we can see that Jesus saw something which is much bigger than what we usually have in our mind. Namely, that he could see that the Christ idea, the spiritual idea of God himself, can unfold, that a certain age has a certain understanding of God. But with every progressive stage, with every progressive period, there will be a paradigm shift coming. And with every new paradigm, we will do greater works. That's quite natural. So what the people in the Dark Ages or in the Magic Ages did, they also did wonders and signs, you know. Those who did work with magic, the hunters, and they always used magic to hunt, so that they were successful in hunting. Later on we have a mystical period, and it worked too. And so we came to a mental period with the Greeks, and it worked too. And every time it was something more refined and more refined. And then came Christianity, more refined. Then came Jesus, very refined, and still he would say, "But as we go on, ye will do greater works." So, what are these greater works? Well, today we know very well that this is true. That greater works was really Mrs. Eddy's textbook. That was a greater work because it was adapted to the scientific age, because it showed that the time of truth has come, the time of science has come, lifting us out of the Middle Ages, out of the Dark Ages, lifting us out of ignorance, beginning to show the scientific aspect of the universe and of being, and Christian Science coming, showing us the spiritual science of it. These are always greater and greater works, but which have different office to fulfill, different missions to fulfill. We don't have to fill Jesus' mission. It's not our job that we all get crucified and then that we resurrect ourselves. We have greater works to do. We have to show the world how to understand being. And that's a much greater work. And therefore Jesus would say, I will send you another comforter. And that is not the comforter of life, that will be the comforter of the spirit of truth, from life to truth. And he will show, and that comforter will teach you all things. That's what he meant with the greater works. So here we begin to understand something very wonderful, that the Christ, we are in Christ as Christianity, that the Christ works in Christianity so that Christianity can make progress. That it only has taken 6,000 years, really, for civilization. More than 6,000 years ago, there was no civilization. And only 6,000 years it did take to civilize mankind. But that's not the end of it. We know that that civilization goes through a very difficult period and has somehow to grow out of this difficult period into a more harmonious period. So he said, 21, he said, "For as the Father raises up the dead," that was his work, his great work, "and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will," whom the Christ will. You see, so the Christ will find its own channels and its own forms how to bring about greater works. So Jesus brought forth greater works than Moses, and Moses brought forth greater works than the pre-civilized man. So today too, in a smaller way, we could see, if we know John Dorley's contribution to the development of the science of Christian Science, that at that time he brought forth practically every year, every second year, a further development of what science means. It was a wonderful time to live in those years, and those, say, 15, 10 later years of John Dorley. We would come every year back to his association, and we knew that he would spread out a bigger view, a more scientific view. There were holy days, really, those days of association. Actually, you have his association now of the year 1938. You can sell it here, buy it here, huh, in the bookshop. Because that association, as I remember back, was that which made a terrific impact on us. It was, so to say, a turning point. And though it is now quite a while ago that he gave that association, I think, especially for those, for the beginner, for those who want to be initiated in the science of Christian Science, that association paper is just wonderfully adapted to take the initiated student and show him what John Dorley really wanted to drive at. Yes. So we can see in our lives too, can you see, that we, that the Christ idea wants greater works. It's not that we are these the big boys, huh, who say, I can present something higher than the ones before. I'm the big chap. No, the Christ idea itself says, I want to grow. I want to unfold myself constantly so that the revelation of the Christ brings a bigger and a bigger and a bigger and ever bigger picture. That's what John could see, that it would show us even greater works. All right, this afternoon.